Town on a Monday afternoon, live at Seasons Main Street in Bangor.
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song.
Well, the sports world lost a true legend yesterday with the passing of the great Arnold Palmer at the age of 87, the winner of over 60 professional titles, 7 major championships. To put his life and his legacy into perspective, we're joined on the phone this afternoon by our friend Shane Bacon of Fox Sports. Shane, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for making time for us here this afternoon. Let's talk about Arnie's accomplishments out on the course. First of all, when you look at the history of great golfers, where does Arnie rank in that elite group?
Well, I mean, you know, you have Arnold right there probably in the top five of all time. I mean, I think when you look at the stretch he had there in the late 50s and early 60s, I mean, wins 4 Masters right there in a 7-year span, wins the Masters in the U.S. Open back-to-back in 60, and then nearly wins the Open Championship coming up second, then goes and wins the next 2 Open Championships following that. I mean, there were a few people, if any, out there that had a stretch of hotness like Arnold Palmer did in that time of his career. I mean, you know, you really look at what he did. I had John McGinnis on my podcast this morning. We were talking a little Arnie. And you know, he said Arnold Palmer was one of the few people that had the resume to talk about Tiger Woods when Tiger Woods was on the stretch he was on, you know, in those early 2000s. Arnie knew it. I mean, you know, we talk about Arnold Palmer and Byron Nelson, and that's about it. And, I mean, you know, you talk about an accomplished guy that came so close to not just winning more majors, but really kind of separating himself. 7 majors all in all, and, I mean, he did it such a short part of his career. It was really, really incredible how well he played for that stretch there in the late 50s and 60s.
And he came along at the right time, too, when television began to broadcast golf tournaments. And what was it about Arnie that made him have that mass appeal, even to people who didn't play golf and perhaps weren't even fans of the game of golf until Arnie and his army came along?
Well, you know, I think what he did so well was, you know, he made it look human. I mean, you know, you see guys out there, players today, you think about Tiger Woods and Greg Norman, and they looked, you know, almost superhuman with the way they were able to kind of play golf. Arnie's golf swing wasn't really traditional. His putting stance wasn't really traditional. You know, he did it a lot in the everyday, everyman type, and he did it with a smile on his face. And, I mean, I even, you know, to intro my podcast, I read a little excerpt from a book about Arnie and after that 73 U.S. Open at Oakmont, where he came so close to finally winning the U.S. Open at Oakmont, coming up a bit short when Johnny Miller shot that 60. You know, he goes in the clubhouse and has a cigarette and a beer, kind of sits for a few minutes, and then goes and talks to reporters and thanks the volunteers and thanks the USGA. You know, this is stuff you don't really hear from players these days doing. And Arnold Palmer was the most popular player in the world at the time, and he was still, you know, he still had the understanding to go take a minute and say thanks to the people that you know, he didn't have to say anything to. I mean, you know, he didn't owe them anything, but that was kind of the way he did it. And it's just, you know, it's impressive. Bob Ford, the head pro at Oakmont, I chatted with him this morning, and he was telling me that, you know, Arnie just wanted to be a regular guy. I mean, he loved, you know, holding court at La Trobe and just telling stories and, you know, shooting, you know, the stories around with some of the other guys there. I mean, that was kind of when he was the most comfortable. And I think that everyday, everyman kind of approach to life is the reason he resonated so much with so many people.
And of course, he had the wins on his resume, but to Shane, in many ways, the losses, those near misses, and the way he lost some of those tournaments, I feel like it made him even more popular and endeared him to some of the fans.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, we were talking about it. I mean, this is a guy that came really close to getting to double digits in majors, but had some brutal, brutal losses over the course of his career. I mean, never won a PGA Championship, you know, the lone kind of hole in his resume, if you will. But, you know, that's right. I mean, he didn't dwell on that, and I thought that was what was so cool. He didn't dwell on the fact that, you know, what could have been or what should have been. And, I mean, you hear him breaking down at that presser in the 94 U.S. Open just saying, you know, when I won some golf tournaments and looking back, you know, this is the greatest thing I could have ever dealt with in my life, and it's so true. And, I mean, you know, I look at his golf a lot, and it's easy to look at his life outside of golf and how much he did for so many people. But, you know, he got there because he was able to go out there and dominate. And, I mean, he was really, really impressive and able to beat some big-time names in some big events. And, of course, you know, I mean, Cherry Hills is something we'll always remember. But, you know, for me, I think it's the way he was able to dominate Augusta National for that seven-year span. I mean, he was just, it was a golf course that fit him perfectly. And he was really the first person that did that said, I'm going to win a whole bunch of these because it's played on the same golf course, and he did just that.
We're talking with Shane Bacon of Fox Sports. Shane, do the modern players understand and appreciate what Arnold Palmer did for the game and, by extension, did for them as well?
I think so. I mean, I think when you look at the love pouring in, you know, the person I look at a lot is Phil Mickelson. I mean, Phil Mickelson is a guy that watched Arnold Palmer, you know, play, watched the press conference, watched the way he interacted with fans and signed autographs at time, you know, away from his busy schedule. And Phil Mickelson says, I want to be like him. You know, I want to do this just like Arnold Palmer did. And, you know, to a certain extent, he's been a very good ambassador of the game and a very good follow-up to what Arnold Palmer did. I mean, I think you see some young players now with that perspective. You know, I think about Ricky Fowler a lot. I mean, you know, he's a guy that seems to transcend the game, despite maybe not having the resume of a Rory or Jordan Spieth and such. And, you know, we were working the U.S. Open for Fox, and Ricky played really poorly for two rounds, and he came in and sat down with me and did an interview and answered questions. And, I mean, those are the kind of things, I think, where you do see past, man, I had a bad day, or man, I had a bad week, and you think, there's kids at home that would love to hear from me, even when I didn't do something great. And I think that's something that Arnold Palmer has kind of instilled in a lot of these young players. Some get it, some don't. But, I mean, I do think there are some out there right now that are understanding exactly how to be an ambassador for not just golf, but for sports, and really just understanding, man, this is a really blessed life I have right now, and I should give back.
And Palmer really created the template for the modern athlete when it comes to endorsement opportunities through his work with Mark McCormick and forming what proved to be a huge global enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, every time any professional athlete gets a check or gets a direct deposit or signs a new deal, they should tip their hat to Arnold Palmer. You're exactly right. I mean, this is the guy that figured out a new way of doing it, a new way to be an endorser, to work with businesses, to show that a golfer can sell, you know, I mean, dry cleaning and things like that are so funny to think about. But, yeah, he's one of the first people to do that. And, I mean, it's, you know, when you watch, I stayed up late last night. I was watching some Golf Channel stuff. I mean, you know, you forget how many things he endorsed. And it was because he was the first one to do it. They had a game plan to do that. And it's pretty cool to think back at some of the stuff that Arnold Palmer had his name attached to. And, of course, you know, you think about Golf Channel and you think about Bay Hill and the umbrella and all of these things that are iconic images and part of golf and really part of our life every single day. I mean, it's all because of one guy. And you know, and as I mentioned, I said this a few times on my podcast today, it's sad that Arnold Palmer passed away, but it's also time to celebrate a guy that led such an amazing life and was such an influencer in golf, because, you know, golf not only is my job, but it's the thing I love. And, you know, part of that is because there was guys like Arnold Palmer there before me that showed us how to have fun with it and showed us the proper way to do it.
Well, and you've reached a certain level in life when folks can walk into a restaurant or a bar anywhere in the world and order an Arnold Palmer and everybody knows what they mean.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are a few people in the world that have such things attached to them. But yes, the Arnold Palmer drink is something. I had one today in honor of Mr. Palmer. You know, it's a pretty cool thing. There are so many layers of places he's touched. You know, I mean, you talk about the hospital and the airport and all of these things that he's done. And then you, of course, can always sit back on a patio after 18 holes and have a pretty refreshing Arnold Palmer, and there's no other way to order it.
Shane, who's the closest contemporary equivalent to Palmer in terms of style, but also in popularity?
You know, I really do think I think right now it's still Phil Mickelson. I mean, I just think, you know, Phil's ability to resonate with fans and understand his role in all of this, you know, to me it is Phil Mickelson. I've always said it. When Phil gets in contention now, you know, at the Open Championship, you know, when he's battling Henrik Stenson, you know, when Phil's in contention, there is a different feeling to it because he just understands the moment so well. He's such a showman. You know, he knows that even if he doesn't win it, people are going to remember that Phil was in the hunt. And I think that's something Arnold Palmer was really, really good at. You know, you remember the events that Arnold didn't win. I think you also remember some of the ones Phil did. And you talk about guys that have had crushing losses in their careers. Phil Mickelson's right up there. I mean, for all of the accomplishments he's had some serious, not just, you know, moments where he kind of fell apart at the end, but moments where somebody came out and beat him. I mean, you think about Miller shooting 63. I mean, you know, that Henrik Stenson shoots 63 on Sunday at the Open Championship to nip Phil. So there's definitely some similarities there. And then I think, as I mentioned, you know, a younger version of that is Ricky Fowler, who just continues to impress, I think, even when he's not playing his best golf. He has a smile on his face. He has a good attitude about it. And kids just absolutely love him. And I think that's a pretty special thing to have.
So what do you think will be the lasting legacy of Arnold Palmer?
I mean, I think it's an ability to be bigger than golf, at the same time maintaining the sport that brought you to this level, that brought you to the top of the mountain. I think you think about Arnold Palmer, every story you hear, everything you read. I mean, these are professional athletes that see Arnold Palmer and want to take a picture with him. They want to shake his hand. You know, they're so excited to play Bay Hill and get there. Rory McIlroy, I thought, they had a great press conference last night after news broke about Mr. Palmer passing away, just saying, you know, last year I played in Bay Hill just because I knew that this moment was probably going to come sooner than later, and I had to pay my respect. And I mean, you know, they don't say that about a lot of people. I mean, you're not going to get that from a lot of people. You know, Rory McIlroy, the best player in the world right now, saying such things and changing his schedule around just so we can spend 4 days around Mr. Palmer is pretty impressive and pretty cool. So, you know, I always think about Arnold Palmer. The first word that comes to my head is cool. I mean, I just think he epitomized the word and the idea. And you look back at these pictures of him in the 50s and 60s, I mean, nobody was as cool as Arnold Palmer.
I'm with you on that. Great perspective. Shane, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. As always, we appreciate you making time for us.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it. That's